How's everybody doing this morning? All right, let me acknowledge real quick. My team did not win. Your team did not win. Three people in here, their team did win. And we want to pray for them right now. God help them. Anyway, let's go ahead and get that out of the way. How's everybody doing today? Everybody's doing all right? Awesome. Awesome. Are y'all ready for this today? Like four of you? Okay. This is going to be a good message today. I want to go to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. In case you did not know this, Ephesians is like my favorite book of the Bible. I love the book of Ephesians. It's complete. It's got a lot of good stuff in it. But I'm going to share something today that I think is going to help you, especially if you're a parent in here. If you're a child in here, you say, why do I have to sit through this? Because you're a kid and you need to see what in the world your parents are up to. Amen. And one day you're going to be a parent as well. But I really plan to present this in a way that I think is going to work for everybody. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 4, it says this. It says, children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. I'm going to refer back to some stories from my childhood today. My mom, when I was a kid, let's go ahead and set this up early for you. My parents believed in whipping their children to discipline them, okay? Maybe you don't roll with that, but mine did, and we made it. My mom had an Astroworld paddle. Y'all remember Astroworld? Okay. I'm going to tell you some stories. Some of y'all are going to think that pastor was abused. He wasn't. He's okay, okay? I don't know why I'm talking in, like, third person. I'm right here. Okay, but my mom had this Astroworld pizza paddle. It was about this long. It's about that wide, and she wrote on there, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And she said, if you won't hear it, I will beat it into you. And so she was using it on my brother one day, and the paddle broke, and that was the end of that. And so I thought y'all would laugh. I think y'all are feeling sorry for me. I'm okay. I'm not traumatized. Some of y'all are like, I can't believe they did that. Okay, here's the second verse. And by the way, when you read verses like this in the Bible, let me help you out, because as parents, we're always looking for leverage with stuff with our kids. Don't go home today and say, I got a verse for you. Ephesians 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is the right thing to do, and then make them memorize it. Like, that's the stuff my parents did to me. And so don't do that, because it makes you mad. Followed up by those verses, like this verse, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is for kids. Some of y'all are like, no, it's for us. No, it's for the kids. So when a child's reading the Bible and they read that verse that says children, they have to say, oh, that's for me. Just like when you're reading the Bible and it says husbands, if you're a husband, you got to say, that's for me. And if it says wives, you got to say, that's for me. And if it's people, it's like, that's for all of us, okay? And so this verse, it says, children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. That verse was written specifically to kids, okay? Verse 2, it says, honor your father and mother. This is the first of the Ten Commandments that ends with a promise. Notice this. It's a commandment, but it has a promise attached to it. And this is the promise. If you honor your father and mother, you will live a long life full of blessing. If you honor your father and mother, you will live a long life full of blessing. Now, a lot of times parents want to use that towards their kids. But I often wondered, if I were a kid and I knew I could get away with it, if I were to ask my parents, well, do you do that? Now, you know, if you say that, you probably ought to duck after you say it, but do you do that? It might be silent in the room. It might be hard to get away with that, because all of us in here, we have a mother and a father. And so, yes, it's one thing to use it on the kids, but are we using it ourselves? Are we honoring our father and our mother, okay? Because there is a promise linked to it, you will live a long life full of blessing. How many of you want that? Long life full of blessing? A simple thing, honor your father and mother, okay? Now, verse 4, and now a word to you fathers. Now, this is speaking to the fathers. This is not for the wife to ride on the car on the way home and say, he was telling you, you need to do this, okay? This is for fathers, this verse. It says, now a word to you fathers, don't make your children angry by the way you treat them, rather bring them up with the discipline and instruction, watch this, approved by the Lord. Discipline and instruction approved by the Lord. Somebody wants to clap on that, okay? Not quite sure, but all right, here you go. So this is going to be our setup for this, and there's a lot of things that I want to talk about, but I want to pray before we jump in, and then we'll go ahead and teach some things today I think is going to help you. Lord, thank you for our opportunity to get together today, and I pray, Lord, that there are some things that we will share that's going to be life-giving and bring some hope to every family that is here. And even if there's someone here today that doesn't have a child, I pray, God, that this will even speak some things to their life, maybe some things they experience growing up in their home with their parents. But, Father, I pray at the end of the day, the result of all of this, Father, is that we will honor you, we will honor our parents, Father, and we will understand our role as parents, Father, to raise up the next generation, to be the people that you have created them to be men and women of God that are going to change the world. And so, Lord, today I pray for your help in sharing this message. Let me do it with the tone of heaven. Let me speak this, God, in a life-giving way. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. I'm going to start with a story real quick, and I feel like I need to come down here today. I want to tell you a story I can remember from when I was a child. I had a cousin whose name was Earl. So y'all go ahead and laugh at that. And his dad was Earl. Yeah, and so it was Big Earl and Little Earl. And I grew up with all my cousins on family land, and so we were all around the same age, and so we would hang out and oftentimes camp out, and you get a bunch of guys together camping out in South Louisiana, you're just bound to get in trouble, and trust me, we did. And so one of my cousins, whose name is Brett, told Big Earl, Uncle Earl, that he did not discipline his children the right way. Now, you have to understand, a 13-year-old telling a grown man that he is not disciplining his children in the right way. And he just kept pushing that button on my uncle and bringing up scenarios of things that my cousin, Little Earl, would do. And he just kept doing it. And my uncle was beginning to get mad. But Big Earl was not getting mad at Brett. Big Earl was getting mad at Little Earl. And Brett just kept pushing the buttons. You never, ever discipline him. You let him get away with everything. He's a spoiled child. You know, all those things that you can say to a parent just to get their blood boiling. And Uncle Earl lost his mind, pulled his belt off right there, and just started whipping Laurel. Laurel's trying to figure out, what did I do? And he got a lot of resentment towards Brett to this day for that moment. But I know this. I know that if you want to get a parent going, start telling them how to discipline their kids. Am I right? Just tell them what to do with their kids, and they will get angry. Because there's just nothing like raising kids. There's nothing like it. I mean, I've done a lot of things in my life, but raising kids is like, there's nothing like it. And so today, what I want to do is I want to share some things that I think is going to help you out with parenting, okay? There are a lot of rewards that come with parenting. There's a lot of proud moments that come with parenting. There's a lot of struggles, though, that come with parenting. Anybody's ever been in a struggle before as a parent? How many of you have had some proud moments as a parent? Some of you, your kids are like 2 years old, and you're already having proud moments. It's like, this is incredible, but you already had struggles too, am I right? It's kind of like you getting a little bit of all of it. And so we get the rewards, we get the struggles, we get the hugs, we get the fights. Come on, you ever had a little fight with your kid, or your kid was fighting with you? It happens. It happens in our families, and as much as we don't want it to happen, you may have one today just trying to figure out the restaurant whenever you leave church. But there's also those forgiving moments in the house where, in a context of a family, where the kid will come to mom or dad and say, I'm sorry, or vice versa, where the parent will go to the child and say, hey, I'm sorry, I lost my cool today. I'm just going to leave that one right there because some of you might need to work on that. So the thing about families is this, is that families come in all shapes and sizes. We got blended families. We got mended families. We got, you know, just people who have the heart of God and just bring people in, take in foster children, adopt kids. And then there's natural families. There's so many different kinds of families. And all of those different pieces that come together can create a lot of excitement, a lot of entertainment, but also a lot of intrigue. And a lot of tension, if you will, at times in the family, especially as kids begin to get older. And let me say this, it's not just as kids get older, it's as you get older. Because when you were younger, you used to be cool. You know what I'm saying? Like, you used to do the crazy stuff, and now you're at the point to where you wouldn't bungee jump because you're trying to figure out your insurance policy. Back in the day, it didn't matter. You didn't care if you had insurance or not. You were jumping. But now you've had to work hard a little bit, and you're rethinking this thing. I can't jump. My kids need me. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the kind of stuff. But there are other days where you think, I would jump right now. So all kinds of families, and each of them have blessings, and also each of them have challenges. But I think the challenging thing about parenting is this, is that we're trying to raise people to go the right way. Am I right? Yes. To do the right thing. That's what we're really trying to do. If you're a kid in here and you're trying to figure out what your parents are up to, that's really what we're trying to do. We're trying to raise kids to do the right thing and to go the right way, to make good decisions, all the while we're still trying to figure it out ourselves. Can I get a good amen right there? Because I can tell you now, there have been moments where I needed to discipline my kids, and I'm sitting there trying to figure out, I don't even know what to do. Like, I need help. Like, I don't know what I would do in this situation. I'm trying to help them. And thank God we can pray and go to God, and thank God there are some great people who are around us that we could talk to. But there's a lot of stress that can come with parenting. And I've seen it before. You've seen in that store, in that grocery store, where that mom's having the moment and that child is melting down because they didn't get an icy, you know, or they didn't get a candy bar. You know, that little moment where mom is just trying to hold it together and not embarrass the whole entire family in front of, you know, this entire store. And so it's always those moments that can be very, very stressful. And I think people are trying to figure out, what do you do? And I wish today that I can come in here and just give you an answer for every single little scenario that you have going on in your life. Every little dilemma that you're dealing with your kids, I wish I can help you figure it all out. Listen, I'm not a child psychologist. I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm a pastor. Okay, and they all start with the letter P, by the way, okay? I'm a pastor, and I'm a dad, and I'm still trying to figure all this out. But I've learned some things along the way, and I've heard some good teaching, and there's some things that I've learned that I want to pass on to you, because I believe that it's been beneficial to us, and it's actually taken some stress off of us as parents to help us to be able to lead our kids and point them in the right way, okay? So there's a few things that I added real quick in here this morning. That's why I'm looking back at my notes, just some ideas that were popping in my mind that I would encourage you, you might want to jot down, okay? So there's joy in raising kids, and if you're not a parent here today, I need you to know this. As parents, we still need you, okay? Let's say you're that teenage person that's in here today. Maybe you're 15, 16 years old. As parents, we need you, believe it or not. Not just for babysitting, okay? Like, hear this, and not just to serve and emerge kids. There are some cool moments here around the church where there are these little kids that look up to some of the teenagers around here. And it's really cool stuff because these little kids want to emulate that generation. They want to be them. It's kind of like their next step for them. And so when they see those guys coming to church, those teenagers coming to church and serving in the church, it sets up another example besides the parents for that next generation of kids that is growing up, that it really helps the parents to have a little bit of leverage to keep their kids moving in the direction that God wants them to go. So I need you to know that maybe you don't have a kid. Maybe you're just someone who is attending church. We need you. As parents, we need you. Can I hear an amen from somebody? We need you. And so don't feel like this ain't for me. No, this is for you too, because you play a part in helping us to raise the next generation. I believe that your example and your influence, your connection, plays a part in shaping our kids as well as our families. And so let me just say it like this, from perspective of a parent, especially towards the church, we need you. No matter what age or stage that you're in your life, even if you're that older lady or that older gentleman that is here at church, when our kids walk in and you're leaning over to get a little five from that little boy and waving at that little girl, that does something to them. This is what I think it does. It makes them feel like this is home. Yes. And I believe our kids should always feel like the house of God is home for them. Amen. And so I just want to throw that in here that we need you, and you play a part in this as well. Okay. And I believe this also, not only do we play a part in shaping kids' lives, I believe kids also play a part in shaping our lives. Some of you, you just need to go ahead and admit it. You became a better person when you had a kid. You were mean as a snake before that child. And that little girl showed up in your life and you got soft. And God knows you needed that. Somebody was praying for you. And God blessed you with that child. And now your whole attitude has changed. And God used that child to shape you. Some of you, you didn't know you were good at things until you had a kid. You didn't know. And God's using that kid to help you be a better person. Amen. That's why they're called a blessing from the Lord. Okay. So watch this. Our kids want friends, but they need parents. Okay? So if you're trying to be your kid's friend, that's cool, but they still need you to be their parent. Now, I know when you say that, people's idea is that you got to be this mean person. That's not what I'm talking about. You have to represent an authority in their life. And so if your whole goal is just to be their friends because maybe your parents were just mean to you all the time, you're missing the point, okay? You can still be authoritative and not be mean. Okay, so just some things I'm throwing in here today. Again, I wrote this stuff down a while ago, but I want to make sure I hit it because I don't want to forget and not say it, okay? There are no two kids that are exactly alike, and I'm just talking about in your house. So if you have more than one child, and some of you grew up with more than one sibling, and you wish your parents would have heard this message, there are no two children who are alike. And on the flip side, there are no two parents who are exactly alike. So like when our kids come home and talk about how great their friends' parents are, but there are no two parents who are, you know how kids do that? Well, they let us do this. Wouldn't it be just so rude of us as parents if we would say, well, little Johnny comes over here and he does everything he's supposed to do. And you do. I mean, that's just, no two kids exactly alike and no two parents who are exactly alike. And so with saying that, that has to move us completely out of the boat to compare. Don't compare kids. I wish you were like so-and-so. Or in our own house, I wish you were more like your brother. Think about that. We're not letting them be who they are. We're trying to turn them into somebody else instead of helping them be the best version of them that they can be. And so understand that there are no two people who are alike. There are no two parents who are all alike, okay? One thing that I've learned is this, and notice, is that we parent a lot out of our personality. Now, this isn't something that we pay attention to because we don't pay a lot of attention to ourselves. We just running in high speed. But a lot of times we're parenting out of our personality. You say, well, what do you mean by that? How you react to things is probably going to be how you react to your kids. And I see kids in here just shaking their head like this. Busted parents right here, okay? And so we got, and listen, it's a reality. We all have personalities in here. Your kids have personalities. And sometimes the conflicts that we're dealing with, they're just personality conflicts. There are some people that get along great together, and there are other people who just don't. And it's going to take a little bit of work. But we have to understand that I have a personality, they have a personality, and sometimes those things are going to work well, and sometimes they are going to clash. Either way, it's going to take effort. Can I hear an amen? It's going to take some effort, okay? So no one can bring out your personality, though, quite like your kids can. I've told you this story before. A few years ago, we were going to Disney, and we're walking in the Magic Kingdom, and there's the sign that says the happiest place on earth, and there's this family right there. And the dad has the look on his face of, I knew we shouldn't have done this, and the kid is melting down. Right under the sign, happiest place on earth. The kid is melting down. And the mom is trying everything. Listen, this is what the mom was really doing. I see that shirt you got on, by the way. They never wore their shirts till they won. It's a Gator fan for you right there. Anyway, back to the story. The mom, listen, this is what the mom was doing. She wasn't trying to parent her child. Let's not fall into that trap. That mom was trying to make sure they didn't lose their money that they spent on those tickets for that day. That's what she was trying to do while this kid is just falling to pieces. And the dad is just sitting there like, I knew we shouldn't have done this. We should have came by ourselves and let the kids at grandma's house. I don't know why we're amening that stuff. So we parent a lot out of our personality, but watch this. I believe God's calling us to parent out of purpose. Amen?
Amen. That's good.
That means there's got to be a higher standard than just crowd control and just weekly schedule management. There's got to be some purpose in it, or else the frustration is just going to continue whenever the kids can't keep up with our schedule, or let me flip that, when we can't keep up with theirs. Do you see how this can just turn into an ongoing struggle in the house? And so if our parenting is being determined by the pace of our lives, it's going to be this ongoing struggle, and this is what it's going to sound like, and this is what our kids are going to learn. Let's go. We got to hurry. We got to hurry. And what we're going to do is we're going to put ourselves always in a position to be in a hurry. And watch this. We're not going to learn how to wait. Did you know your whole parenting experience started out with waiting? I don't mean to bring up your whole labor experience, but it was waiting. Well, when's the baby going to come? I don't know. And mama's like, it better hurry. God's calling us to parent out of purpose. Now watch this. Parenting is a setup for your children to live out God's purposes for their life. This is what it is. Parenting is a setup for our kids to live out God's purpose for their life. Now I want you to imagine if you bought a particular piece of equipment or something that had to be assembled. When you get the package and it's delivered to you, it's now something new in your home. That package, this thing that you have, has purpose, but it doesn't have purpose until it is set up. So let's use the guys for example. Let's say you finally get the okay to pull the trigger on an 80-inch flat screen. Let's just say. I mean, let's dream big. All right, guys. We got to evacuate. God bless America. All right. We'll try this again. Can you bring that podium down here? All right. Well, so we were talking about an 80-inch, and some kid pulled the alarm on that. You're on a roll. We'll talk about discipline later. All right. Back in this. So you get the okay to get the 80-inch. And let's say you bring it in the house, but you never take it out of the box. You never set it up. You can't get mad at the TV for not working if you never set it up. Are you grabbing what I'm saying? There was a delivery that came into your home that has to be opened, that has to be set up. And if you ever got one of those TVs, you know it takes a little bit of work to set it up. But we're pretty motivated, so we'll get it done. But the point is this, is that if it's not set up, it's not going to operate. It's not going to do what its purpose was created for. And it's the same thing, I believe, with parenting, is that God has given us these wonderful gifts, but it's our job as parents to help open that gift, help these kids discover what their gifts are you hearing me? And set them up to do what God has created them to do. Ultimately, that is what our role as parents really is to help them be everything that God wants them to be. And hopefully today we can share a few things that's going to help you to be successful as parents, to raising your kids to live out God's purpose for their lives, okay? So what this is the deal. We want to set them up to be successful, am I right? We want them to be successful, but let's not just think with a career. Let's not just think with finances, but let's start thinking about setting them up to do family well. Are you grabbing this today? Let's think about setting them up to have a relationship with God, because God knows you need Jesus every day. And what if oh, no kids were crying, by the way. We got to go hit the alarm button in there. Hold tight. Okay, we just found out it's on a timer. They're coming to shut it off. The kids are outside on the playground. They're having fun, so everything is wonderful. Welcome to church, everybody. Goodness. Okay. So we want to set them up to not just be successful with the career things and worldly things, but we want to set them up to have this relationship with God. Because what if they gain all of that and lose their soul? What if they get all the stuff but never become the person that God really created them to be. Now, I'm not saying that to try to throw pressure on you, because listen, there's already enough pressure on us as parents to try to set our kids up to do the right things. But when you start factoring in God's purpose, what it does, starts messing with us a little bit and makes us ask the question of, am I living out God's purpose for my life? Because kids won't just do what we say, they'll do what we do. So if we're living it out, they're going to have a good in-home example, and it's going to spur that kind of faith within them to live out God's purpose for their life, okay? And we'll talk about God's purpose on another day, but today I want you to grab all of this. So watch this. You're not just raising a kid. You're raising sons and daughters of God who have a godly purpose and a godly calling on their life, okay? And if you're a young person in here today, don't forget this. And I want you to hear this. Your parents are people too. That means this. They're probably going to make some mistakes. And if I was a parent, and I am, I'd go ahead and clap that preacher down. We're probably going to make mistakes, okay? And if you're a parent in here and you do make a mistake, own it. Own it. Kids like to hear yes a lot, but they also like to hear, I'm sorry, okay? There's a lot of things that could be repaired in our home with a simple, I'm sorry, okay? So, as a parent, I believe we need to know our role as well as our goal with our kids, okay? And I want to give you four quick responsibilities that we have as parents, okay? Four quick responsibilities. I got a little ring going up here, fellas. Four quick responsibilities. Number one, love them like crazy. Nobody can love your kids like you do, okay? So love them like crazy. These are the main responsibilities that I think we have as parents. Number two, lead them to Jesus. It is not the youth group's job to lead your kids to Jesus. It is not Emerge Kids' job to lead your people to Jesus. We are working together with you, but it's your job to point them in that direction, okay? Now, I'm not telling you that we ain't going to lead them to Jesus, because we're going to do everything we can to lead them to Jesus. But we are working together with you. But as a parent, I believe it is our responsibility to lead them to Jesus, okay? Number three, help them do the right thing. Help them to make some good decisions, okay? And do the right thing. And then the last thing is show them how to do life. Show them how life works. Don't just let everything else show them how life works. I believe it's our job as parents. Now, let me say this. I remember when I was a youth pastor, there was one particular young lady in our youth group. She got in some trouble, and she was making bad decisions, and her parents were really not trying to get her involved in church or anything whatsoever. But the parents came to our church, and I remember when the girl got in all kind of trouble, the parents came and saw me, and this is what they told me. It's your fault that my kid got in trouble. Now, you know, when you're a pastor, just want to give you a little sneak peek. There are things you would like to say that you shouldn't say. And thankfully that day I didn't say what I shouldn't say. You know what I'm saying? Because I wanted to help this parent understand their role that they were not fulfilling. But I know parents get mad at you when you do that. And so I wasn't going to win that argument. But I say that for this purpose, is that we can't expect somebody else to do what God called us to do as a parent. That teacher at your school cannot do what you can do. They can teach them things maybe that you do not know, but they cannot be the parent to that child like you can be. Amen? Amen. Some of you are like, I don't know if I want to say amen on that. So let's talk about what this looks like. Okay, these four things. What does that look like? Because I'm a firm believer that there are different ages and stages in the lives of children. And sometimes, especially when we have multiple children, this becomes, I believe, a little bit of a challenge, because if you have one child that's older and one child that's younger, as some of us in here do, we're trying to maintain a level standard all the way across the board. And let me just say this, that is hard to do because you got one child in one stage and one in another stage, and you're trying to make them all act the same because it's more convenient and manageable for you. You're going to start some undercover wars in your house. They're happening already. They're plotting and scheming in the bedrooms. It's just a matter of time before it comes out in the open and there is an all-out war in your house, because they're going to feel automatically like they were put into a position of you're just trying to keep me from having fun. You let them do it, but you never let me, that kind of stuff. And I think we have to be wise when it comes to raising kids. So let's break this down into a few categories today, okay? This is what we're going to do. We're going to talk about childhood, which is about 0 to 12 years, okay? Then we're going to break down adolescence, which is 13 to 17 years, and then adulthood, because some of you, you have adult children, and you're trying to figure that out as well. And maybe you've had, I mean, you hadn't had a conflict until you had a child that was an adult, and you had to try to parent them. Like, I don't like this girl that you're about to marry. And they're 29 years old. Woo! You want to talk about Family Feud, okay? So let's break it down, okay? We got a few minutes. Let's break it down. And let's start with 0 to 12 years old, okay? From the ages of 0 to 12, basically as a parent, you're a caretaker slash cop. Okay? You're a caretaker slash cop. And some of you are like, I feel like my kid's 30 and I'm still doing that. All right. Proverbs 22, verse 6 says it like this. Train a child in the way he should go, or in other words, set them up. Train them in the way they should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. But you cannot wait till they get older to start training them. You have to start when they are young, when they are little. So watch this. This is how we're going to do this. I'm going to talk about what's your role and what's your goal for each one of these categories, okay? And this isn't something I came up with. This is some things that I learned that I heard my pastor share with us that has helped us in the Moran household quite a bit, okay? And I believe if it's helped us, I think it's going to help you, okay? So what's my role? Let me give you a few things under here, and you can write these down. If you need the notes, I'll email them to you. If you shoot me an email, wait@emergechurch, okay, .com. I'll help you out with that. So what's my role? The first thing as a parent is to protect them. Help them guard their hearts and their minds, okay? Sometimes telling them no is actually protecting them. It's not hurting them, it's protecting them. Can I watch that? No. Silence. Well, why can't I watch it? I don't think it's good for you to watch that. Okay? What am I trying to do? I'm trying to protect them. I don't think you need to go there. Okay, what is that about? That is about protecting them. Here's the second thing. Provide. Okay, give them what they need, not always what they want. Okay, give them what they need, but not always what they want. You see how I said that? That way you can't go home and say the preacher told us never give our kids what they want. Got to be smart, okay? Give them what they need, meaning this. Let's go back to the illustration earlier. You got this big flat screen TV, but you don't have a cable to connect it. And if that TV is going to be used for its purpose, you have to get this one piece that you need. There are things that our kids need for them to fulfill their purpose, for them to be who God wants them to be, for them to become the kind of person they need to be. That means we have to give them what they need, not always what they want. And I've learned this, that a lot of times you have to sacrifice the things you want in order for the things that you need. Okay? Here's the third thing is teach them. Show them how to. I think of simple things like this. Show them how to tie their shoes. I know it's more convenient to get the slip-ons. I know it's more convenient to get the Velcro. Teach them how to tie their shoes. Why? Because they need to learn that skill in their life. Am I right? There are some things that we just think about from an infant state. We have to teach them how to eat, how to feed themselves. That is something they have to learn. Some of you, you're in that stage. You know what I'm talking about. You're like, pray for me, Pastor. We are praying for you. Pray for us. We're trying to tell a teenager no, okay? But we have to teach them some things. We have to teach them some manners. Am I right? When you got a 4-year-old that's mouthing off to somebody, on, somebody. Teach them. Another thing is we have to train them. Train them. We're talking about character, work ethic. Now, 0 to 12, that's a big stretch. There's a lot going on, 0 to 12, am I right? There's a lot. So if you're in that state of raising a child between 0 to 12, all these things that you see on the screen in front of you, that's what we're working on. We're trying to protect them. We're trying to provide for them. We're trying to teach them, to train them, to discipline them. And that's a challenge. And let me just say this about discipline, because there are so many different ideas when it comes to discipline. Maybe, you know, like for myself, when I grew up, my parents, a spanking was the answer. Like, if they don't understand, we're going to whip it out of you. And I understand that there are people that have different thoughts about that. That is fine. There are other people that think that you use your words. That is fine. All those different things. My thing is this. Find what works for your child. And whatever you do, don't do it out of anger. Even if it is lecturing your son. If it works, just don't do it out of anger. Because if you do it with the tone of anger, you're planting that seed in their heart. And one day that's going to turn around and come back at you. Okay? So I'm not trying to tell you what style or what form of discipline that you should or should not use. I don't believe that's my part. Okay? I do think, though, that as a parent that we should pray about the different types of discipline and use the one that we think is going to be the most effective on our child, okay? And let's just throw this out there, that just because someone doesn't discipline their children the way that you discipline yours doesn't mean they're wrong.
That's right.
Amen? Amen? Let's let people deal with their own kids. We got enough to deal with ours, okay? So we have to discipline them, and here's a little quote I'll throw in there. You'll either live with the pain of discipline or the pain of regret. So it might be cute for them to mouth off as a 4-year-old, but what about when they're 14 and they're mouthing off at you? Or they're mouthing off at their teacher. It's not cute anymore. Now it's a problem. And these are things that we should have disciplined when they were little, but we didn't, and now it's become the norm and the routine for them, and they don't think it's a problem. And now when they get older, we're trying to fix that, and we can't. And that's why we get to number 6 and pray. Pray. I think we have to pray, but we also need to pray with our kids so that they learn how to pray. The best place for your kids to learn how to pray is at your house with you. Amen? And how does that happen? They hear you pray. And when they hear you pray, they begin to pray. Now, I'm blessed. I love to hear my kids pray. Now, they throw in some stuff in there, like sometimes when they bless the food, they pray for their team to win. I mean, you know, God hears prayers, okay? But these are roles that we have as parents. So what is my goal then at this stage, 0 to 12? Here's my goal. My goal is to teach them about G-O-D, to teach them about God, okay? But I want to break that down because that's an acronym. G-O-D. Yes, it's the person of God. But Psalm 78 says, we will not hide them from their children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. So this is our goal. This is what we want to teach them. We want to teach them gratitude, to be thankful. Teach them to always say thank you. Because if you can teach them gratitude, I believe they'll have joy if they are grateful. But we have to teach them that. And how do we teach them that? We model it, okay? If we model it, they become it. And that gratitude is what's going to work on their heart, okay? So when they do good things and they do the right things, let's appreciate them. Hey, thank you for that. Let's say you went to the store and you made it through the entire time and they did fantastic. When you get in the car, hey, thank you. Your behavior was excellent inside of this big box store that we go into all the time to get all of our family needs. I'm not promoting either one of them, by the way. Can we go to McDonald's now? I don't know why I said that, to that arched place. Can we go there now? No, we're not going. And then they lose their mind. I don't thank you for that. Okay. Gratitude. It's a matter of the heart, okay? Obedience. Obedience. And this is for their soul. There are a lot of times and there are a lot of things that we have done now that we're adults that we did when we were children that were results of disobedience to our parents that's had an effect on our soul still to this day. And you can feel it in the room right now. So if we're training these kids as they're growing up, if we can help them learn the importance of obedience, and obedience cannot be taught from the example of, well, I'm your parent, you're going to do what I tell you. Because that is more of a dictator style of leadership than it is parenting. We want to teach obedience because it's the right thing to do, not just because I'm your daddy and I said so, but because obedience is the right thing to do, and it's going to have effects on your soul. Okay? So we want to teach them gratitude. We want to teach them obedience, which is for their soul. But we also want to teach them dependence. Now, I know immediately somebody in here is about to go crazy because I want my kids to be independent. I don't want them to have to ever rely on somebody. I think the problem is we don't know how to be dependent. And that's why we see things break down, because our dependence is so clouded. It's so like confused that we don't know how to work together. We have to teach them how to work together. Like if we can teach our young kids, like boys, how to work together with their sister, it's going to help them whenever they get married to work together with their wife. And if we can teach the daughters to work together with their brothers, it's going to help them work together with their husband. Listen, I get the whole independent. I mean, I'm an independent person. I like to do things on my own. Leave me alone. I mean, I know all about that, but I've learned that anything that I want to be for God and any success I want to have in my life, I need people. That's what I've learned. And I am not a self-made man. My parents put me on this earth. They shaped me, they molded me, they beat me, they lined me up, and they told me no a whole lot. And that helped me to become the person that I am today. And thank God they did that, because if they didn't, I'd be a little hellcat. Okay, so that's 0 to 12. Caretaker, cop. You're watching pretty much their every move. Okay? Now, this is where it starts to get interesting. Because now we're 13 to 17 years old, and now our role as a parent is kind of shifting a little bit. We were caretaker and cop. Well, now they got their own hairstyle, and they know how to fix it. And they want to pick their own clothes out now, okay? And they don't like all this stuff that you're cooking. They want to eat chicken nuggets every day.
Yes.
And pizza. I told you it would be for everybody today. I was a teenager right there. So for 13 to 17 years old, we become a coach. We become a coach, okay? Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, where there is no game plan, this is where people begin to fall apart. So what is our role now that we're in this 13 to 17 years old, okay? We're going to coach them. What does that mean? I want to help them get a vision for their life. I want them to begin to think about who they are and who they're becoming, okay? And if you have a teenager here, they are okay with these conversations, believe it or not. They are not okay with the conversation where you're trying to tell them what to do with their life, but they are more than okay with you trying to help them figure out what they're going to do and who they're going to be with their life. Okay, and let me just throw this out there. If you're here between 13 and 17 years old, listen to me. If your parents ask you, what are you thinking about doing with the rest of your life, and you throw these three words out at them, I don't know, you just gave them permission to tell you exactly what you're going to do with the rest of your life. So never tell your parents, I don't know. Tell them this, well, I do know this. I need some more education. And then they leave you alone. Okay, I'm just trying to help you out. So as a parent, if we do a good job laying the foundation in that 0 to 12-year-old stage, in that first stage of their life, okay, this part is going to be a lot easier. But if we didn't do a good job as a caretaker and a cop, then when we get to this part, we're still going to have to play cop. And we're not going to be able to help them to figure out a vision for their life, because we're going to have to micromanage every little thing that they do to make sure that they don't mess it up. Amen? Some of y'all are like, oh God, don't talk about this right now. We need help. So what's my role, okay? Let's jump in. First thing, teach. I have to balance, help them to balance freedom and responsibility. When they get into the teenager stage of their life, there are a lot more freedoms that they're going to get. And here's the thing. if we set them up, they should be able to handle the freedoms. But we also have to help them to balance the freedom with the responsibility. Meaning this, well, I'm a kid, I'm just supposed to have fun. Well, yes, you're supposed to have fun, but you still need to clean your room without me telling you every day. And the yard needs to be mowed too. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Hey, if you get it done, go. You can go do this, but we've got to balance the freedom with the responsibility, okay? We have to help them learn the ability to make decisions, but also recognize the consequences of those decisions. Not make the decisions for them, let them make the decision, but help them to see what the consequences are going to be, okay? Here's the second thing, model it, okay? We have to model character and people skills. They do what you do, not what you say, so you have to model it. One of the things that I really see that is happening as we're becoming more in the social media world, we're becoming a lot more connected with our smartphones and everything. The one thing that I notice that we're having issues with is eye-to-eye and handshake contact with people. We're not doing good with that. But the reality is you're going to come in contact with people. Your kids are going to come in contact with people. And so I have to teach my kids, you have to teach your kids to approach a person and look them in the eye and say, hey, my name is Wade. What is yours? And help them. But if they don't see you doing it, they're not going to ever want to do it. But if you bring them along the way, hey, this is my son, Elijah, right here. Elijah, this is Mr. Robert. You know what I'm saying? Come on, son, I want you to meet somebody. This is Mr. Robert. Mr. Robert, this is my son, Elijah. He's looking at him in the eye. You see what I'm doing? I'm setting him up. Let me tell you when you don't want to do this. You don't want to wait till the night before their first interview. That first job interview, you don't want to do that then because they're going in there and everything's calculated. Make sure. Oh, I don't know if I'm doing it right. Thank you, son. Good job. Okay. Here's another thing to model. Make sure they're in church. Bring them to church. Make it a priority for your family, not just for them. Don't say, we just go to church for y'all. You need it. Come on, brother. Help me preach that thing. Here's the third thing. Encourage them. If you have a parent between 13 and 17, when's the last time you encouraged them? Okay? Speak life to them. Tell them that you believe in them. Affirm them as a man or a woman. Look them in the eye and say, hey, I believe in you. You're going to do great things for God. If you got a little girl, you better tell her she's beautiful because some little 14-year-old at middle school will tell her all kinds of other stuff. Come on, Dad. Come on, Dad. Encourage them. Pray. Pray for them. Pray without ceasing for them. Let them hear you pray. I never forget one of the most powerful things I ever heard was my mom praying for me when I was a teenager. Kind of broke my heart, made me feel like I need to get my act together. Seriously. When I have that big test coming up, pray with them. Say, hey, let me pray for you. I know that test has been stressing you out. Let me pray with you today. And even if the prayer sounds like this, God, help Susie on her test today. Help her remember everything she studied. Do a miracle today, God. Amen. They will be so thankful that you prayed for them. Say it out loud. Yeah. Let them hear you pray that, okay? So what's my goal? That's my role. What's my goal? Build some godly character in their life. We want to help them to develop some godly values and convictions. See, we want their relationship with God. Watch this. We want them to begin to own their relationship with God. Not just do it because my parents do it. See, I want our teenagers at our church to be able to say, this is my church. This is not just my mama's church, but this is my church. Are you grabbing this today? This is our church. This is where our family goes, but this is my church as well, okay? Here's the last one. I got to hurry, okay? The last one is 18 years plus. And there's a few of you that are in that category, okay? So what is your role? What are you doing? You're a consultant. See the progression? You were a caretaker and a cop. Then you became a coach. And as a coach, you don't get on the field. You coach from the sidelines. Let me throw something out at you. When my kids started middle school, all this stuff with their teachers and stuff, they had to go have the meeting. And some of you are like, no, you need to go do that. No, they have to start owning their education. Right. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mr. Robert. At least somebody's, they have to start owning their education. Go talk to your teacher. I'm not doing good in this class. Go see if you can get some extra time with them so that they can kind of coach you and tutor you a little bit on this. I can't do it for you. You have to go do it yourself. And they begin to take responsibility over time. Guess what? One day they're going to go to college. And they're going to be struggling in that college class. In that biology 101 class. Miss Harris, LSU, made a 40 on the first test. I had to go meet with Miss Harris. I couldn't get Mama to go meet with her for me. I had to go do it. But guess what? That started in middle school. That didn't start like, oh, he's out the house. No, this started back then when my parents put the responsibility on me to own who I was becoming. And I think that's key for that stage of life, that age and stage, is this is where they begin owning who they're becoming and who they're going to be. And as a parent, if we just own it all the time, we're just handling robots. And at some point, that robot is going to rebel. Come on. And some of you know firsthand, not because of your kids, but because of yourself. I didn't expect it to get quiet right there, but it did. All right, so 18 years plus, the consultant, okay? So what's my role? And this is really easy, but very difficult, okay? Listen. Support, advise, and pray. You notice the roles have changed because they have to own it at this point of their life. It's their life now. And that's hard because we don't like our kids to grow up, but they are faster than what we realize it. Like, I got a 16-year-old as of this week in my house. It's pretty incredible, by the way. It's about to be driving. Some of y'all are like, oh, we'll be praying for you. Hey, pray for him. He's the one that's got to drive. Pray for Cynthia. She's the one worried. So that's my role, is to listen. Can I throw this out? And I thank God I have great parents. My parents have done a wonderful job with this. Just listening, letting you unload, and not trying to tell you how to fix it. Just listening. Supporting you. We bought this house beginning of September, and we were taking on a massive remodel. My dad came down for a week and just helped me do all kinds of stuff. Just support. He let it be all my decision, whatever we were going to do. That's different, by the way. In a previous stage, it was not that way. Just giving good advice and always praying. Still praying. And I think when you have older kids, it's hard because we don't want them to make the same mistakes we made. And this is why I think not only do we parent out of our personality, but sometimes we parent out of our pain. And we're trying to use our kids to fix what we did wrong instead of focusing on setting them up to do right. We say things like, I don't want to be like my parents were, but without a plan, we become just like them. Because you're wired that way. You grew up in that house. We parent with the ideas of threats. My way or the highway. I'll be honest, I heard that before. My dad told me one day, you don't like it? Back it up. I'll help. When I was a youth pastor, I had a guy tell his son that. The next night, his son ran away. Dad told me, I'll never tell my son that again. He was scared to death, didn't know what happened to his son. It didn't help the situation. It scared him. Didn't help him. So if all of our tactic is fear, are we really teaching them faith? See, I believe parents are good. If you're a young person in here, hear me out. Parents are awesome. In fact, you wouldn't have on what you're wearing today if it wasn't for them. You probably wouldn't be eating what you're going to eat for lunch today if it wasn't for them. Take them out of your life for a few days and you're eating peanut butter and jelly every day. And you're wearing, you don't even know what you're wearing. It's a game changer. But how do we get from parenting out of our personality and parenting out of our pain to parenting out of purpose? I believe the key is this. It's going to be your relationship, first and foremost, with God. Because if your relationship with God isn't where it needs to be, the way you view the whole order of how God set things up is going to be off. And our attempt is going to be to play God in their life. And can I tell you, you're good, but you're just not that good. Because God is perfect. He's infallible. But we have a lot of imperfections. And I promise you, by the time your kid is 14, they already know them. They do. My kids already know them. And they point at them. And they pick on us about them. It's not fun, although they laugh, and my wife laughs at me, and we laugh at her. Still hurts. I need healing. But the relationship with God is so important, because the order is anything in authority flows from the top down, and every blessing that you have, watch this. The blessing of your children in your life, and this is so important, that blessing doesn't come from them. That blessing comes from God. And we get out of order when we're trying to look at our kids to be the blesser of our lives rather than just the blessing of our lives from God. See, things are out of order. And so when our kids don't make us happy, we feel like we got to fix it. And listen, your kids are not going to make you happy all the time. Let me just help you there. And if they do make you happy all the time, what are you doing? Like, help us. And you're not going to make your kids happy all the time. You're not. But that doesn't mean it's the end of the world for them, because the next opportunity is going to come up. If they're 15 years old and you told them no, they can't go to the movies this Friday, by Tuesday, they have another plan for something else they want to do. And you get a whole new opportunity to make them happy. Or just as mad as they were before. But I think this, I think some of the problems that we're dealing with as parents, our approach is coming from brokenness rather than righteousness. Because a lot of the brokenness has been so advertised, it's been so aired that it kind of just puts a glimpse on family as, well, this is just how it is. But I want to speak some hope in life to every family here today that's raising kids. Just because you were crazy when you were a teenager doesn't mean that your kids are going to be crazy when they're teenagers. We had that whole conversation last week, okay? Just because your parents didn't do the things they needed to do to parent you doesn't mean that you can't do the right things to parent yours. Amen? It comes down to your decisions, but this relationship with God is going to be the compass. It's going to be the guide. It's going to be the thing that moves you and leads you through all of these ages and stages of their lives. And if we don't have a relationship with God, we are liable, watch this, we are liable to follow any path. And this is what we forget about. I got kids coming with me. And if I don't get it right, then they're not going to get it right. So I got to get it right. And I'm not trying to put pressure on. I'm just trying to tell you, here's where we are, y'all. They learn by example. And the best example that you can give them is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And this is why I say that, because the things that are broken and need to be healed in you, only He can heal them. See, you can't have a kid come and heal the wounds of your father and your mother. Your kid can't heal that wound. Only Jesus, only God, your heavenly Father, can heal that wound. And what happens is when that kid can't fix it for us, we automatically think they're not doing what they need to do. That's an unfair position to put them in, y'all. Whenever there's a divorce in the family, okay, and now mom needs this kid to be this, or dad needs this kid to be this, we're putting them in these roles that they were never meant to be in. Are you hearing me today? And some of you, you're grown, but you had to play that part, and it was rough, it was hard, it wasn't easy, and it's putting us in these positions, and it's like, this is not what it was supposed to be, y'all. And if we're not careful, we're parenting out of all of this stuff instead of just looking at this saying, hold on, God created my kids with a purpose, with a godly purpose, and that's how I want to raise them. And listen, it may mean having a conversation with your kids. Listen, I want to raise you to live out God's purpose, but I'm still working through some things that I dealt with when I was a kid, so just be patient with me. I think if we had that conversation with our kids, they would be a lot more understanding. But we're afraid to tell them that because we don't want them to think that we're messed up. They already know you are. They already know. So if you're here today and you don't have that relationship with God, that's the best thing you can do to parent your family. I've told you this. My dad gave his life to Jesus. Everything in our home changed. I'm not just talking about dad started going to church. I'm talking about my dad gave his life to Jesus and things in his heart began to change. Everything changed. Everything. It was like something just came over him and he became an incredible dad. Why? Because his heart. And there's a lot of hearts in here today, I believe, that need the love of God. If you're here today, I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes. If you're here today and you say, Pastor Wade, I don't have a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you've settled for religion, but you say, I'm away from God, and I need a relationship with Jesus. I need to know him as my Lord and Savior, not just for my kids' sake, but for me. And maybe as I was sharing this today, you were reliving some moments of your childhood. Maybe some things that hurt you. Maybe some moments where planted some seeds of unforgiveness and some pain. I want you to know Jesus loves you enough. He can heal that. He can help you forgive that and move forward. But the relationship with Jesus is the guiding influence that we all need. And if you're here and you say, Pastor, I need that relationship you're talking about today, would you just lift a hand? I want to pray with you this morning. No shame. Anyone else? I'm away from God. Amen. Repeat this prayer. Everyone, there were a few hands that went up. We do this every Sunday. Say, Dear Lord, I thank you that you love me like a father loves his children. It's a pure love. And I need you. I've sinned against you. I've done things that I know are wrong. There are things that were done to me, and they were wrong. God, I need you. I need your forgiveness. I need your healing. And I need your life. So I commit my life to you today, and I choose to follow you. Instead of following my ways, instead of following my pain, I'm going to follow your purpose for my life. And I thank you that you're giving me a new beginning, a fresh start, healed and whole, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's put our hands together. Those who raise that hand. Hey, if you're a parent in here, I want to pray for you. Why don't you stand to your feet? I want to pray for you today. There were some things that we shared. I hope it's kind of given you some ideas, some perspective. But I want to pray for you. Look, you stood up like you needed it. I like that. Why don't you lift your hands this morning to the Lord? Father, your word says that children are a blessing from you. Lord, we're so grateful that you blessed us with these wonderful children who at times will stretch us and will help us become better people and reveal sometimes parts of us that we don't want no one to know about, no one to see. But Father, we know that you have given them a divine purpose for their lives, and you have entrusted us as parents to set them up for it. And Lord, today we say this, that we need your help. And God, I believe that because you chose us to be the parents of those children, that you have anointed us for that, and that you have, God, given us your grace. And I pray, Lord, that we will lean on you and trust in you, and that you will give us the grace to lead our children and our families forward. Lord, I think about those folks that are in here today that maybe cannot have children but have a mother and a father's heart. Father, I pray for them as well. And I pray, God, that their example in the church and throughout the community, God, will shine on kids, and kids will see the example of good fathers and mothers even in them. And Father, I pray, God, that you will bless them with a child. But Lord, today we understand, God, that there is a generational blessing that is passed down. And Lord, we want our kids to be blessed. And God, we're blessed because we have this relationship with you. But Father, we need your help. We need your grace. We need your wisdom to lead this next generation into the plans and purposes that you have for them. And so Lord, today I pray, God, that you will help every parent here to parent and raise their children with the right temperament, God, that they will be life-giving, Father. Lord, that they will speak hope and faith and life into every child, Father. I pray, God, that they will stand for righteousness. I pray, God, that they will represent you in every situation, help their children make good, godly decisions. I pray, God, that we will help, Father, change the picture of family. Lord, that it will no longer be looked at as something that is dysfunctional and something that is broken and where people are hurt, but Father, I pray, God, it will now be seen as a place where there is protection, God, where there is provision, God, where there is love and affection, God. And I just pray, Lord, that your purposes for our families will be accomplished, God, through every parent that is here today, through every child that is here, Father. Lord, I thank you that your blessings is upon them. God, in Jesus' name, amen.